I just praise God tonight. He's so good. For my testimony, I had a basic knowledge of salvation. I think I heard it at least twice, but it was never fully explained to me. I wanted what was right, and yet I didn't know exactly how. And I was too proud to go up front when the altar calls came, so I just did it on my own. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. And because I was scared to go to hell. But that's all the further it went. I never had no change of heart. And I joined the Mennonite church. I put on the form of religion. Still didn't have no change of heart. They accepted me that way. They knew that I had a lot of deep needs in my life. I had a lot of problems with anger. Just on the spur of the moment, I'd just fly off. And but nobody ever asked if I really fully committed my life to Christ. If I had a deep cleansing, I just thought, well, this is the way it is. Well, anyway, I went on like that for quite a few years. I just struggled and struggled. Finally, through self-determination and self-will, I laid those things aside. I said, that's it. I'm gonna do better now. Because some of the members come to me, you know, and not physically, but they kind of go, you know, don't do that again. But they never touched my heart. Never. Never asked me if I was really, truly born again. I had a lot of knowledge by that time. But yet, whenever all the calls, especially since I've been here, whenever all the calls would come, it's not for me. Not for me. I'm all right. And until last night, when Debbie Cook gave her testimony, I thought, that's it. That is it. That was my experience. I was dry. I didn't have no prayer life. I could talk about the Mennonites and their system. But if somebody would have came up to me and asked how to become born again, I wouldn't have been able to tell them. I just thank God He drew me out of that. In Psalms 40, it says, in verse 2, it says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I tell you, such a peace went over me last night. And today, I was traveling a lot on the road. I just couldn't help from just bursting out crying.
Amen.
I was just so happy.
With joy, He drew water.
I just... I just ask that you would pray for me that I can just start afresh. I just want to live for Christ. For 10 years I wallowed around just trying to do better. And I don't want to just praise God. So, oh yes. And I also, even though I was baptized back, I think it was in 84, I don't feel that I was truly born again. And I desire to have baptism to seal my faith.
Shall we fall on our knees for prayer? Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you so much for your mercy. Your mercy upon us people, Lord, that you'd be so kind to come down here in the middle of this congregation and go up and down the aisles and touch the hearts of the people and help them to question and examine themselves whether they be in the faith. Father, tonight I pray that you would do that one more time, because we know that there are those things that are not right, and we lay them before you, dear God, and pray that you put your finger on them tonight, and may things clear all up, Lord. May lights go on in people's eyes and minds and their hearts, that they might see what God has in store for them if only they open their hearts to the truth. Tonight I do thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Sister Lucy's life, and I thank you for Brother Gordon, Lord, and that you helped him. And I pray, dear God, once again tonight, search our hearts, try us, try the reins, Lord, see us and know us, see if there be any wicked way in us, that we might confess it and forsake it and remove it, that the power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ might be able to flow freely in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, truly I can greet you tonight in Jesus' name. It's been a blessing once again to see what God has done last night and through the meetings in Colorado. And it just seems like that God is visiting His people. And that's always a blessing to see that God would visit His people, and I trust that He will visit us tonight and we can continue on in the work that the Lord has for us. Makes one sense that it's near the end, you know, when you see God visit His people just on His own, and it's just Him, that's all, it's just Him, and it's His power, and it's His goodness, and we thank God for all that here today. Like Brother Phil Neuenswander said yesterday morning, I think on the phone when he called, he said, well, someone has said that, I think Brother Denny's message in Colorado, that it's necessary that our experience catch up with our theology. And he said, I just feel like my experience has finally caught up with my theology. And I think that's reality in their lives. I know it is. And of course, then Brother Leland Bears got converted last night, and he was overflowing this morning and rejoicing to see another young couple give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and find out what it is to be born again. Well, tonight we want to continue on this subject. Like I think Brother Jeff said last night, as we were fellowshipping around here, we'd just like to put the plow down about two more notches and just go down through the furrow again. I must admit that I feel a little like I failed. I feel like, I remember, you know, many times I come home from a trip and I've been preaching and I've been going at it prophetically a little more out there, and I come home and I think everybody's heard it and here at home, and I don't seem to have the right vision for the inspiration to preach like I ought to preach concerning these subjects, because I think you're all tired of it. You've heard it often enough from us. And I just admit tonight that that was not right thinking. That was not right. Here, you know, you're sitting among us and we need our own hearts plowed. And I admit many times I need mine plowed. And I just pray that God, that He would have mercy on us tonight and He'd plow our hearts another time. He'd just simply plow the heart and He'd plow up the hard pan lest we get so hard and that we're not broken. And I've looked at this thing through my message on brokenness in Colorado again. And also, as we're gathered here tonight, and I just realized that it just seems like unless the heart is broken, nothing will happen. I would have to say to some of you, and I know it's so different, and we're made up different emotionally, and I recognize that, but brokenness is still brokenness, and it seems like every one of us needs it, no matter what kind of people we are. And I would just have to say, I think you would agree with me that the night you respond at an altar and sit down there just as stoic as can be and just say, well, you pray for me, you know, and have nothing really, no brokenness, no tears, no confession, other than, well, I'm not like I ought to be, please pray for me, and that you don't get anything out of that. I don't, and I don't think most of you do either. Though you do it 100 times, it gets in the avenue a little bit like the lady out there that said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart. God's not going to come into our hearts until we break our hearts over our knees. He's going to draw an eye of a broken and a contrite heart. There's where He will not despise, will not back away, will not let you go, will not bypass you there. I can guarantee you that because God's Word says so. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8 tonight. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can these things be? Well, once again here tonight, I would like to take this simple message on the new birth experience and take it apart a little bit and let us look at it for what it is. Sometimes I have to admit I cringe when I preach like this or I preach this message again. I think, well, I don't want to unsettle and bring a bunch of doubts into people's minds who I know have been born again. And when I preach like this, you may doubt that you've been born again, and it'll take you through a tailspin almost in doubt. But yet I know tonight that this is so necessary. To take a look at this, because except we be born again, we're not going to make it. That I feel like I'd rather preach what I have to preach and stand down there at the council room because I know your heart and say, you can go on, you're okay, you just go ahead. But you, thank God, bless the Lord, you're going to take a look at it like you haven't taken a look at it. We cannot get by this subject. If we're not born again, we're not going to ever open our eyes and see into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says here. Last night we talked a lot about this five and dime conversions. May I comment on that again? That problem is in the Baptists. That problem is in the Presbyterians. That problem is in the Mennonites. That problem is the problem today in our society. They've just had enough of religion to inject them a little bit with an inoculation, like Brother Gordon said, with enough of religion, plus he put some on the outside and just enough to pacify him and not go after what he needed to go after. And I would like to say tonight, let's get rid of the five and dime conversions. Let's get rid of those that you buy at the 5 and 10 cent store and go for the one that is real, and that'll change your life. That'll convert you and regenerate you and transform you and cause the old things to pass away and everything to become new. That's what we need. And if that has not happened, let's go around again, like the Scripture teaches us here in John chapter 3 so clearly. Nicodemus said, what? Can a man when he is old go back around again? That's what he said. And Jesus says, well, yes, that's what has to happen. But it has to be one not back into your mother's womb and be born, but of the water and of the Spirit. And it has to happen. If you're not born again, if you're not changed by the Spirit of God tonight, you must be born again. If your life is just not together, if you don't have the warmth of the Spirit of God within, if the Word of God does not come up and meet you when you read it, and I'm not saying we always feel the same when we read it. Like I said downstairs in the prayer room last night, it doesn't always react the same in my own life when we're tired. But if the Bible doesn't come up to meet us, if it doesn't jump out and say, hey, look at it, isn't that a blessing? And it sinks deep within, there's a spirit that connects, that bears witness with our spirit, the spirit of the Word. The spirit of Christ, the spirit of the living God that's in the Word and with the Word comes up and meets our spirit, and there's an intercourse there. There's a connection. Unless that happens, there's something wrong. Well, I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but over in John chapter 6, we recognize in verse 44, the Scripture says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now I believe there are some things that a man can do that will cause the Father to look at him and to draw him. I believe there is such a thing as seeking after God. But at the same time, I would have to say that unless the Spirit of God draws, we cannot get converted when we want to. There are some young teenagers that sometimes say, I want to have my fun. I want to go my way. I want to do as I please. I'm not ready yet. I'll get converted when I want to. No, you won't. You will not get converted when you want to. I know that many of people have spurned a meeting and spurned an invitation at an opportune time like this and like last night and decide, give me a couple more years and I want to have my fun and run with the crowd and run with the young people. And then I'll settle down and get converted. But that opportune time never come, and the beckoning and call of God didn't come. Except, no man can come unto me except the Father, which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Except the Father draw him. And I would like to say it's important tonight that you respond when the Father draws you. That's the opportune time. That's your hour in your day. For children, I don't think children have to worry. They can be safe with their parents. They can rest with their parents in obedience and submission. But when they hear the Father speak, that is the time to respond. That's the time to say yes to Jesus Christ. Looking a little bit on the area of conviction tonight, if I can go back to Lamentations on this matter of conviction of sin and travail that comes in upon the soul. Back in Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 20. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth. At home it is as death. That's how the Lamentations of Jeremiah, he so clearly describes the conviction of sin. And I believe in order for a person to get converted, to give his heart to the Lord, there needs to be a conviction of sin, a travail of the sin. And like he so clearly describes here, behold, O Lord, for I am in distress, a distress of the soul. Something's wrong. Something isn't right down inside. My bowels are troubled. I think it's good when we feel it down in our loins, down in our bowels, that there's a travail of the soul, and there's a conviction of sin, when there's a misery of heart, and a troubledness of mind, and we are guilty for what we've done, and we can tell inside things don't line up right. Something is amiss. We are missing the joy, the clearance, the assurance of salvation. We do not know where we're at. If that's your case, it's right to let the conviction of sin come upon you. Ask God for it. Plead that God would bring conviction to the hardness of your heart. Out in Colorado, that happened so many times, people would just say, my heart is hard. My heart's hard. God, soften my heart. I don't want a hard heart like this. Will you do that tonight? If your heart is still hard, would you please do yourself a favor and weep and wail over the fact that your heart is hard? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked, and this is, you know, it's so mixed up in today's world. It's such a common term. We even have had a born again president, so some think, and many people talk about it. And they profess it. But except you be born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. There needs to be a lostness before a salvation can take place. Let me describe again tonight. Are you lost? Were you ever lost? Like the man we talked to, well, I always walked with God from little up. I was taught about God. But have you ever been lost? Have you ever seen yourself on your way to hell? If you are not lost, you can't be saved. You must be lost before you're saved. A sense of despair. A sense of lostness. Under judgment for my sins. Under judgment for going my own way. A sense of failure. Back in Ezekiel 33, verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgression and our sin be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Are you pining away tonight? Remember the man. What's his name? Elijah. Doesn't sound right. Lazarus, out in Springfield, Missouri. That we went to visit when we were having a meeting there, the black man from Nigeria. And somebody had put a curse on him. His family at home had somehow put a curse on the man. And he was in Springfield, Missouri, studying to be, trying to help his ministry out. And he said, I'm pining away. And the man couldn't eat. And he was just pining away. And he was getting skinnier and skinnier. He couldn't sleep at night. And that man was miserable. He was so miserable, and his body was wasting away. And they had known that in cases like that, men actually die physically from it. Well, we evaluated it and laid our hands upon that man and rebuked that curse that was upon him in the name of Jesus. And that's the last I heard of him until just a few weeks ago when we were down in Texas. Brother Ben Marston told us, Yeah, he's back there pastoring a 1,000 people church in Nigeria, in Lagos, Nigeria. And things are well, and he's prospering. He started gaining weight about right away on that. But that man gave me a picture of a man pining away. And here, Ezekiel simply tells us, if our transgression, our sin be upon us, we pine away in them. Sin causes us to be out of sync with the Creator and with the creation of God. And we pine away. We pine away. That's why people commit suicide and live in sin at 30 years old. And even 17 and 18. It's because their sins cause them to pine away. If our sin be upon us, we pine away. We cannot sustain ourselves. That's why if we're not converted, we take Valium for our nerves. That's why we go to the mental hospitals and the psychiatrists and psychologists many times. Because we cannot cope with it. We invited a girl to come to the meetings from Montana and wanted her so badly to come, who had fallen away from the Lord. And she said, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. Another young man that we had witnessed to and spoke to while we were in Alberta, our Hutterite young people, friends told us that they met the man. He came down to the colony there at Flat Willow and they found out he's drinking heavy. And he had been born again. He had given his heart to the Lord. Some years ago, he was truly converted. They had felt clear with him. And they said, what happened to you? Why are you drinking again? And he said, I can't handle life. I can't handle it. We pine away in our sin. Our sin is ever before us. And it seems like that's the way it was with Nicodemus. He didn't know what to do. He was confused. He saw Christ. He saw he was a man who could do great miracles. But he was troubled at his heart and he decided, I'm going to find out what's wrong. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. We cannot handle sin. We cannot go our own way without it. Without Christ. The guilt. I have to think of guilt. You know how guilt feels? You know how guilt feels? Yes, you know how guilt feels. You know how it crawls up on your back and how it just makes you shudder and causes you to choke at your neck sometimes? The guilt of sin, being guilty. We can't handle it. We're not made to live in guilt all our life. So there needs to be a sense of lostness and despair and guilt. Are you guilty tonight? Are you guilty of your sin? Like Sister Lucy said, I never confessed it. I never understood it. I never had that part clean out of me. I feel like I had a house cleaning. Why? I'm sure that many times she sat in a message and she heard a certain sin. And probably something crawled up her back. We didn't notice it. Maybe she could sit still and you can today. But there's certain something, a wave comes over you when certain sins were preached and realize, oh, that's my ugly past. And I've never cleaned out. Nobody knows here. Just keep it quiet. Put it under the rug. I'm okay. I'll put on a face. One sister in a prayer room last night said there was a deep bitterness in her heart. She's been struggling with it. And a deep frustration. And she came here. She told her son, well, here we go. I'm going to put it on again tonight. Just going to put on my mask. You got to smile. And I'm going to walk in those doors. Is that what you're doing here tonight? You have to put on a facade. You have to put on a mask. Take your mask off tonight. And be who you know you are. And admit it before the God of heaven. And be real and genuine. And if you're not born again, and you're not living for God, and you don't have victory over sin, and you don't have peace in your heart, and the Word of God doesn't mean anything, and you don't have assurance of salvation, and you never had a change of heart, and you never had a change of spirit, and the old things have never passed away, you need to be born again. You need to be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. You need a new life. You need a new spirit. You need the old things to be rooted out and your feet taken out of the miry clay and set upon the rock, Christ Jesus. The new birth. The new birth. How do we get born? How do we go through the birth canal? How do we get out and open our eyes and move our hands and our feet and breathe and able to see and hear with our ears and see with our eyes and make our mouth go and start drinking milk? How does it happen? How does that birth? How can these things be? Nicodemus says. And we echo that tonight. How can these things be? They must be through the Spirit of God by the water and the Word. I like the idea of water. Even though I believe it's like Brother Denny preached out in Colorado. Take a bath tonight. Take a spiritual bath. The new birth is like a bath from our sin. It's like a bath from our guilt. It's like a bath from our past troubling things that crawl up on us. Take a bath tonight. And I like when it says the water and the Spirit, because the water is symbolic of a washing. A house cleaning, like the sister said tonight. A change like that. The new birth, as you go through that birth canal and come out into a birth, is a drastic change of life. I don't know where our theology is tonight and how it ought to be. But we get more skeptical all the time. Like I said, when there's never been a brokenness, there's never been a repentance, there's never been a spilling the garbage, the dumping of the bucket before the God of heaven, not even a confession of the major sins in your life, how can we be born again? I don't know. I do not know how. But tonight, the new birth is a regeneration. It's a recreation. Now we look at repentance. We look at the confession of sin and repentance as tearing the house down. And here's where I think a lot of people make a big mistake. They do certain things to try to tear the house down. As Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 1, how did he come to tear down and to destroy and to pull down? And then he says to plant and to build. And there's many people I think that try to they tear away at the house, but the new birth is a recreation and a building the house back up again. And I think many times we don't stay there long enough. We don't go through this process long enough to get all that God has for me. And maybe we tear down an evil habit, or we try to strip off some sin, but we don't go to the core, to the very nature, to the very foundation of the problem, and tear it down completely. And then when we tore it down, then we also wait until God accepts us and receives us, and we build the house back up again, and then we have the joy, and then we have the change, and we have the regeneration. We have the reworking of the life. We have the miracle of God. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are transformed, and we are renewed, and we are changed, and we are regenerated, and we are a different person by the Spirit of God. The reason I say that is because many times, you know, the Spirit of God and the true new birth saves us from the love and the practice of sin. And so many times we struggle over that issue. We still have the love of sin. And some still have the practice of sin. And they do it over and over and over and over again. And the Bible says he cannot sin in 1 John, for his seed remains in him. If he's born of God, he cannot sin. He cannot practice sin. And yet here we are over and over and over again. If you are practicing that sin in your life, and there's no victory, you probably need to be born again. And to be changed by God's power. It's supernatural tonight. Supernatural. A change of heart. Back in Ezekiel 36. Might have been quoted last night. I know we used it in our message out in Colorado. Different times privately dealing with people. In chapter 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Where is the hard heart? Where is the hard heart in your new birth experience? Why can't you break? Why can't you be soft by the Spirit of God? When the Bible says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit. There are some here tonight that need a new spirit. They still have an Amish spirit. They still have a Baptist spirit. They might still have a Horning spirit in them. And we need a new spirit. We need the old spirit rooted out. Some of you might have a worldly spirit. But there must be a change of spirit. I say, if you've never gotten a rush of joy or no joy has ever come into your life, you probably need to be born again. Now, maybe you forgot that you had it and you have grown cold. But it comes out about the same. You need a good old cleansing, a good old washing, a good old bath in the love of Christ that brings you back and gets the joy flowing again and causes the bells to ring again inside of you.
Hallelujah.
And they're not ringing. And if they're not ringing, let's say they're not ringing. Let's not try and act they're ringing. Let's say they're not ringing. A new spirit, a new heart, and a new spirit. And let me say, you know, out in Colorado, I found it just like it was from our Amish and Mennonite background. Those people, amazing. What did they do? Went to a Bill Gothard seminar. Started homeschooling, started fellowshipping together, learned about all the principles of life, and put them on. Coverings, long modest dresses, dark hose, covered the body up, children in order, godly families, taught them how to pray, taught them how to memorize scripture. And what did they say? But I don't have it in here. I don't have it in here. I thought, yes, that's just a carnal nature. It's not a Mennonite problem. It's not an Amish problem. It's an old nature problem. We put it on. We put it on the outside. We put on the mask. But we don't have it down in the heart. Something that controls the reins of our life. Something that changes our direction. And then we're constantly fighting with trying to get the world out of our heart. And we can't get the world out. And we can't get our coldness out. And we can't open our mouth and testify. And we can never say, praise God. And we can never say, hallelujah. And we can never rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We need to be born again. We need to be born again. Or we need a good old-fashioned revival that comes out about the same. Don't wrestle with it. Whether you have had it or if you didn't, if you don't have the joy, and you don't have the power, and you don't have the blessing, and you don't have the change, then go for it. A new birth is a constructive work versus repentance and confession, the destructive, the tearing down. Now the new birth is the construction. It's the building up. And I think people stop in the middle. They stop in the middle. Sometimes they even truly repent and do not go on. And with faith, wait upon God and receive by faith the regeneration of their heart and life. A new birth is to go from darkness to light. It's to go from death to life. It's from the power of the world or Satan to the power of God. There must be a change. There must be something that is otherworldly. There must be something that is supernatural that you have not put on, that you have not worked up in your flesh, but that God has worked in the very depths of your life. A transformation, a change, a regeneration of life. Have you had that? Has God met you that way? A new spiritual nature, a new spiritual things. Like the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. not try to pump them up, but that God creates His workmanship. We are a creation of God, changed and transformed, and God creates us into something that can do good works for God. They just come. We don't have to make them all happen. They just flow out of an overflowing of our life. Let's look at Romans chapter 7 on the liberation from sin, verse 14 and 15. For we know that the law is carnal. But we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Look at Paul's explanation of life, I personally believe, before the new birth. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. That which my flesh continues to produce and manufacture, I'm saying inside, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, but I keep on doing it. And I can't help myself. I can't get victory. And then he says, but what I hate, that do I. I hate my sin. Like one sister said last night, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be like my mother. I don't want to be that character. That which I hate, that do I. And that takes a new, that regeneration of the Spirit of God. There is a liberation from sin. In 1 John 3:9, we have, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin, for he is born of God. That so clearly shows us, whosoever is born of God doth not keep on in rebellion in your home to your parents. That which is born of God does not keep on drinking. That which is born of God does not keep on lusting and letting lust take over and consume yourself. No! If we're born again, that's what roots out the old stuff. That's what gets rid of it. And if it hasn't happened, it needs to happen. No, I had to think, if I can draw a heart here, there's a scripture back in Luke 11 that I appreciated so much in light of this new birth that I think could help clear something up. It says in verse 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in might see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thine whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now that shows us that some of the illumination of the heart at one point of life can turn around and get dark again. That's what it says. And the next verse says, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark. Having no part dark. That's what he's saying. And so many times, that's our condition. Yes, we have had some light in our life, but the Bible says we should have no part dark. And if your eye is clear on Christ, then I believe, and your eye is single concerning spiritual matters, then your whole body, your whole heart will be full of light. But if you have a part of your heart dark, and I think that's where we get the confusion, we say, well, I know I've had some activity with God, I've had a few prayers answered. I heard him speak, and there was a time I had a blessing or two. But where is your heart? Is your heart dark? Do you have certain sections where you say, no, you're not going to come in that part. I do not give you that part. If that's your experience tonight, if there's a dark area of your life, which you will not pull the curtain away and let the light of the glorious gospel shine into it and bring it under the magnifying glass of God, there's a darkness in your heart. And the way to get it out is to allow God to touch your heart and to cleanse it and to wash it. And for most of you, I think you will see it's like a new birth experience to get rid of that dark part of your heart. If you're not full of light, and the scripture doesn't illuminate, and it doesn't bless you, and there's no joy in your life. Here's another one that I thought of, or that I read about, and I don't know if I can draw this, but if you consider a bell, if you consider a bell, and we have the certain ring of the bell going on. And truly this is how we are created. But what happens once there's a crack in that bell? And that's truly the picture of through the Adamic fall. Our bell is cracked. And it, as soon as it's cracked, it never will sound the same. Something has changed in the sound. And you can put bands around it and try to pull a crack together and do all kinds of outward things to try to get it together, but that sound will never be the same. It will never be true. What do we do with the cracked bell? What do we do with it? It's cracked. And as soon as it's cracked, it's lost its tone. It's lost that clear tone, that clear changed tone, which announces a changed, transformed life, a purity, a holiness to all. The answer is, the bell must be melted down again and must totally be put into the crucible and to be recreated and remade, and then it'll sound again. Then it'll ring true again. Our hearts are the same way, somehow, through the Adamic nature and through the corruption and deceitful heart of sin. The bell is cracked. The bell has cracked. Will you not take the bell after it's cracked instead of putting the outside bands of stuff around it to try to hold it together and try to make it ring? And it won't ring. It'll not ring true until we melt the bell down in the crucible of God in repentance and brokenness and confession of sins and sin. Then it can be recast. And that is the picture of the new birth. That's the picture of regeneration. That's the picture of recreation. And the bell will ring again. The bell will ring again. It says in John chapter 3 that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nothing that you can do to your old bell, to your old heart, to try to patch it up. It's still flesh. When you're done, you still have flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And when there is a supernatural melting down, a supernatural melting down and bringing about a brokenness in your life, then the bell can be recast and reshaped. Someone has said, he brought his old gun into the gunsmith. And he said, I got a little trouble with my gun here. The stock's not right anymore. It kind of had a cracked stock. The barrel's not right. I think it's worn. It's not shooting straight. And I also need a new lock. And the man looked at him and said, you need a new barrel, you need a new lock, you need a new stock, I think you need a new gun. Well, yes, that's what I do need. I need a new lock, stock, and barrel. That's what he said, I need a new lock, stock, and barrel. But so many times we try to fix the barrel and straighten out the lock and patch the stock. And we need a new creation. We need to be born again. We need to be transformed by the Spirit of the living God. The old nature is dilapidated. Flesh is still flesh. Flesh is still flesh. And everything we do in the flesh will only produce more flesh. I'd like to say tonight, let's lift that thing up for where it needs to be. Unless we have the fruit and the fact of a changed life, let's not settle for it. Unless we have the fruit of a changed life, let's we have the evidence of something transforming us. We do not grow into the Christian experience. It is a birth through the travail of the canal into a birth instantaneously where there is light, eyes open, breath, there's a baby cry, milk is desired, hands move, feet kick, there's a birth. And we have to have a birth. We have to have something that is traumatic enough to know that we pass from the old into the new, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan and sin in the flesh to the power of God and light in the Scriptures. There must be that change, and let's not settle for it unless we have it. And if we got an old spirit yet, and we see we have an old Amish spirit in us, just like a 16-year-old that wants to run wild. I want to do my own thing. Rebellion. No submission to authority. We don't like authority. We hate it. That's so typical of an Amish spirit. Because we all got it at 16 about. Because we were turned loose then. And to go and do our own thing. And Pop and Mom many times did not have much to say about it. Or do we have a horning spirit tonight? Do we still have one of them that would rather be back here at Easy Manufacturing, having a good old time with the young folks, cutting up and flirting with the girls, and all the stuff that goes on there? Do we have that type of a spirit? If we do, we need to be born again, because the Lord Jesus wants to give us a new spirit. Or do we have a worldly spirit? Do we have a hankering and a lust and a drive for sin in the world, for its pleasures, for its love, its lust? It's excitement, it's entertainment. And we don't enjoy God's work. And we don't enjoy sitting on the front of the bus. Like I said last night in this prayer circle, you need to go from the back of the bus to the front of the bus. That's the reality of trying to see instead of back where there's carnality and back in the dark corners where nobody sees you. To get up where there's hot spiritual conversation, where you love the Lord Jesus, where you open your Bible and you want to share some truth that you've received from the Lord. That's the new birth experience. If you're still in the back of the bus, you need a transformation to the front of the bus. I don't know how to put it any simpler. You need to be born again if you've got a back bus spirit. Born again. So that spirit can leave you. Do you have a worldly spirit tonight? Do you have a spirit of your background? Do you have an old Catholic spirit yet that's sticking in you? I don't care what it is, but God wants to make a new spirit. He wants to change you. Being born again, not of the incorruptible. Being born again of... not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, of the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We need to have a new birth experience of an incorruptible supernatural seed that comes into the heart of man and helps us not be a Stolfus and not be a Winger or not be a Martin, but makes us like Christ, the born-again child of God, where things become new. And old things change, brethren, they have to. Or we need to be born again. Changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Let our experiences catch up with our theology of charity. Yes, amen. Let's have our experiences catch up to our theology. You might have had something 5 years ago, but your heart is hard and you're holding out. And you've got the old thing back again. The old spirit that you were delivered from 5 years ago. You have returned to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. And that happens in Galatians chapter 3. Paul sighed into the Galatians. Oh, I travail for you until you grow up. until you live and walk with God. Because I know how you began, and I want you to walk that way. But you have returned to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. You need a new lock, stock, and barrel. You need to have your crack repaired by melting the whole bell down and starting over. Some of you are so confused with the power that you have and why you have such a hankering after the other things that you know are forbidden by the Scripture that your bell is cracked. And you need the old bell melted down and recast a brand new one so you can have the ring again. So you can shine. So you got the joy again. So you got the power to live above sin so that the old things truly can drop off of your life. Being born again, oh Nicodemus, God bless him. He stuck the conversation out again, out long enough, till he got the requirements. It's a must. It's a must. 2,000-year-old must for every soul to enter heaven. You cannot sit there in your old nature and say this is the way I've always been, and I can't express myself. I'll tell you, that'll put joy and expression on a dummy.
Amen.
Yes, it will. If the power of God can make a donkey speak, how much more can it make you speak if you get born again?
Amen.
And you get the joy of the Lord in your heart. And you get transformed. And you get regenerated. And you get renewing of the Holy Ghost, like the Bible says. Oh, I pray that God you'd search your hearts tonight. Some of you are not right. You're not right. You're struggling with things that shouldn't be once named among the saints. You're struggling with things that shouldn't once be named among the saints. Something's inside driving you in a direction that's not according to the Word and the Spirit of the Holy One. It doesn't come from the supernatural input of the Holy Ghost, but it comes from the nether world, the lower world, the sin nature. And the sin world, will you give it to Jesus Christ tonight? Have you heard the message? Is it clear to you? You've got to be born again. You've got to break your hard hearts over your unbrokenness, over your naivete, over your just going your own way. And you don't care and you're dull and you're numb. And you don't have any response to the wooings of the Spirit of God. I beg of you tonight, put the plow down and go down through the furrow again. And don't you stop until you have the joy. May I say that? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Can I tell you that? Is that too high a standard? If I say you don't stop until you got the joy? I think that's all right. That's where God puts it. Let's put the plow down and keep on going through the furrow until we've got the joy. Till we've got the blessing of God, a smile on our lip. And like Brother Gordon says, peace. And he didn't have to say a lot of words by the looks on his face. No. Peace. Peace, tears, and peace. It's all right now, Lord. It's settled. The old account was settled yesterday. I'm going to sing an invitation hymn. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father, dear God, you know who all yet, Lord. Lord, protect the supersensitive ones that have been converted, but oh God, root out everyone that has not been. Oh God, plow upon our hearts. Lord, until the joy comes, we're not going to sit here dry, like Brother Gordon says. We're not going to sit here dry with no fire burning in our soul. We want to be born again until the fire falls, until the water washes us clean, until we can open up our lips of praise and thanksgiving to you, and we know where we're going, and we know if we died today, we'd go to heaven. Oh God, deliver us from every foul spirit that won't let us rejoice
deliver us from our inhibitions, though they be of our Christian background or religious background of some kind. And Lord, shake us loose for the glory of God tonight, that there can once again be a clear tone in the ringing of our bell and can carry out across the land, that the sinner can hear it and can come and be saved. Dear God, I pray, go up and down the aisles tonight in between the benches and search the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, young people, old alike. Search us all together. Take those cracked bells, Lord, and melt them down. Break them in the travail of their soul until they put their hands on their loins, as a woman does in travail with a child in pain, until he be delivered. Oh God, that's our prayer tonight. And I just ask you, Lord, have your own way. Accept, Lord, in weakness and in failure what we have given. And I just pray, dear God, that you would be able to touch somebody's heart. Somebody's heart. Is that somebody you? Is that somebody you? In Jesus' name. Shall we sing a song? If you want to put the plow down in your heart, and you come up to the altar, and you settle with your, do business with God, like some of those did business last night. And if you still aren't broken, you come back again tonight. Shall we sing?
512.
Just come. Come to the front here. Fall upon your face before God.
Gather your affection to the cross. Is my heart.
God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Just come. Is that all? Is that all? Any bitter hearts? Any stuck in the mud of bitterness and unforgiveness? Rebellion? Wanting your own way? Consider it. Consider it. Shall we sing another verse? Bless you, brother. Thank you.
come. Another verse. Break your hearts over your sins. Break your hearts. Let him have his way. Bless you. Once again, I say, break your hearts. Rend your heart and not your garments, saith the Lord. All right, Brother Danny is going to lead you downstairs. All of you can get up and go down into the different rooms where he'll direct you. Tom, maybe you can take him to the back and she'll get him back there. Well, bless the Lord. May God have his way. May God have his way. Let's be real. Praise the Lord. Anyone else want to give an expression openly here? Before we close. All right, so, yes.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.